baby Jesus speaks to us of God's desire for us to touch him, to embrace him, to not be afraid of him, to draw near to him, and to love him.
Pastor Ray Bentley says the message of Christmas is the surprising news that God wants a relationship with man.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.
Spread the news of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice, Jesus is coming. Join the song, sing along, let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. The news media has missed the real story. It's not politics or the economy. The real story is that God, the almighty creator of the universe, so wanted to have a relationship with man that he became a man himself. And today, Pastor Ray helps us celebrate that good news as we prepare our hearts for Christmas.
Luke chapter 2. And the title of the message is God Manifest in the Flesh. That's who Jesus Christ is. God manifest in the flesh. It says in the New Testament, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. And that, of course, all began 2,000 years ago with the birth of Jesus Christ there in Bethlehem. So we're going to look at chapter 2. Follow along with me. It says, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Caesar Augustus was ruling, but it was God who was in charge. Caesar Augustus caused all the world to be taxed, and he used Caesar's edict for this taxation to move Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem so that his word would be fulfilled. It's interesting, several years ago in Egypt, they actually found records of this taxation. And every 14 years, apparently, they would have the whole world moving around so that they could be taxed. But God used Caesar Augustus and this taxation to actually bring this couple from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Now, if you don't know the geography of Israel, let me give you a very simple geography lesson. You look on a map of Israel, up to the north, you have the Sea of Galilee. And these beautiful mountains that surround it, this low valley, essentially, where all the water collects. And that's called the Sea of Galilee. And along its shores is where Jesus had most of his ministry. Nearby is the village of Nazareth. That's where Joseph and Mary were from. Now, Bethlehem, where the prophet said the Messiah would be born, is 70 miles to the south. Here is young Joseph and Mary. She is pregnant and would have had the child in Nazareth. But in order for this scripture to be fulfilled, God caused Caesar Augustus to do this taxation, so they now had to take a 70-mile journey. Now, can some of my beautiful sisters imagine? You are young, you are pregnant, and now your husband says, honey, I'm so sorry, but we've got to get on a little donkey and take a 70-mile trip down to Bethlehem. A long, arduous journey. And in a way, that becomes a picture of the journey of faith. God gives you a promise. He speaks to you. You have a dream. You have a revelation. You have a vision. You get excited about it. And the next thing you know, circumstances totally beyond your control have you moving or going in a direction that you had no intention of doing. And you wonder, what is going on? And not only is it a long journey, it's a difficult journey. That's a very good picture of the journey of faith. But I want to encourage you that while that journey may be long and difficult, the journey of faith is worth it. Amen? It's worth it. Stay with it. Now look at here, I've got some of the scriptures, what God's promise of the Savior meant. Number one, he would be human, not an angel. And there are the scriptures, he would be a Jew and not a Gentile. He would be from the tribe of Judah. So you know there are 12 tribes in Israel, narrowing down to one tribe, the tribe of Judah. But within the tribe of Judah are many families. So then, prophetically in Samuel, it gets narrowed down to the one family of David. The only family is the family of David from the tribe of Judah, and only the tribe of Judah from the nation of Israel. And then Isaiah 7:14 says that in David's family, you would know who the Messiah was, for he will be born of a virgin, conceived supernaturally by a virgin. And then finally, Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, and he will be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Well, now we find out how God arranged circumstances so that his son would not be born in Nazareth, but would actually be born in Bethlehem. And I love what Mary said back in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, when the angel came and announced to her, Mary, you're the one, you're the chosen one, you're going to bear and conceive the Messiah. Her response was, be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, Lord, you've made this promise. This is beyond anything I could dream or imagine. So let it happen. Be it unto me according to thy word. The moment that Mary said to the Lord's promise, okay, Lord, do what you said. Fulfill your promise. Be it unto me according to thy word. The moment she said that, all the circumstances and the events of the world began to be shaped and formed and molded and used by God to accomplish the promise that he had given to Mary. And the reason that I mention that is I want to connect a dot from this very familiar story 2,000 years ago to you and I today. And that is this. I think that we could all agree that the journey of faith as a human being in a fallen, broken world can be very long and difficult and arduous at times. How many of you agree with me on that? All right? But it is worth it to walk by faith and to walk with the Lord. And along the way, along that path, God will give you many promises. In fact, in the Bible, there are approximately 7,000 promises in the scripture. Did you know that? 7,000 promises in the scriptures. And one of the reasons as a pastor, I'm constantly exhorting and encouraging you along with me to read our Bibles daily is look for the promises. And when you find a promise, and in those 7,000 promises, there is a promise for wherever you find yourself, whatever need that you might have, there's a promise for you. So when you find that promise, for provision, for direction, for wisdom, for comfort, for encouragement, whatever it is, say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the moment that you agree that you want God's word to be fulfilled in your life, he starts working, using, and even when necessary, manipulating the events of your life in order to accomplish his good plan for you. The name of God. When Moses, God spoke to Moses and he said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, okay, Lord, I'll do that, but what's your name? Every nation has a God. Every little community has a God. The gods of the mountains, the gods of the valleys. And so what is your name that I shall tell them? And when God told Moses his name, what was the name that he told him? I am. Isn't that an unusual name? I am. I am. So you try to figure out what that means and you read the commentaries and they say, well, the eternally existent one, he's infinite and he's all powerful and he has no beginning and no end. Okay, I get that, but still, I am. But another definition that helped me to understand it was that I am also means the becoming one. I am becoming whatever you need. You know, that's a loving parent for their children basically wants to become for them whatever they need to be loved and nurtured, to mature, to grow, to find their own unique gifts and personality, and to flourish. The glory of any father is his children. I am become, or I become whatever you lack, whatever, what do you need? And many of the names of God in the Bible, for instance, Jehovah Shalom, means I am become your peace. Is there anyone here that needs peace? God says, I am. I am peace, and I am become your peace when you hear me and when you receive me and when you say, be it unto me according to thy word. So, here's this young couple that God is working, and because of Mary's faith, and Joseph had his own righteous faith as well. But look with me in verses 4 and 5. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Bethlehem means house of bread. Bethlehem, house of bread. Perfect place. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And this in the fields of Bethlehem is where they would grow that which was made into bread. So this prophecy of Micah, 700 years before this event took place, before this young couple living in Nazareth suddenly got the edict from Rome, we have to be registered. And in fact, they now would have to go to their birthplace and the ancestry down in Bethlehem. And they would have to travel that long, long journey. I love what Micah said. But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. I love that. God chose Bethlehem. So when I read, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. It's not that little man in Rome who is in charge, but it is Almighty God who is in charge. He is in charge of the affairs of men. Now look with me in verses 6 and 7. And I saw something here that I had never seen quite like this before. There's a loneliness to this event. Now the young couple actually gets there to Bethlehem. And it says in verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Notice in verse 7, it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son. Apparently, Mary had no help. Now, obviously, if she had been back in Nazareth with her family and with her friends and with her community, the faith community that she belonged to, usually in that culture, you always had a midwife. There was always somebody there, if not many people there, to kind of hover around and to help and to celebrate. But how interesting that because of the circumstances of this particular time, Mary, well, Joseph, of course, was there. But at that moment, she took the child. She wrapped the child. She embraced the child. There's almost a sense of loneliness expressed in this. And when I think about that, I think about our modern Christmas. And I don't think that I'm going to surprise anyone if I tell you that, did you know that December 25th is not exactly the day that Jesus was born? I mean, we don't really know the day when Jesus was born. The Bible doesn't tell us, and there's all kinds of theories of what season that he was born in. So where did December 25th come from? Well, originally, it was a pagan holiday that had to do with the winter solstice and all of that. And there's all kinds of some of the pagan traditions that kind of got blended in with Christianity back in time past. So I always find it interesting that, you know, in modern times, genuine Christian believers kind of have this push and pull It's like, now, is something getting lost in the midst of all of this? There can be a sense of emotional detachment from part of the commercialism, let's say, that's going on one level, and yet you're wanting to feel this worship and this warmth inside of your heart about what Christmas is really all about. Well, if I speak to anyone that is feeling kind of emotionally out of sync a little bit, hey, then you're experiencing the feelings of the original Christmas and what it's really all about. And when you think about it, though it says, and she, Mary, alone wrapped him and held him, she was not alone. Who did Mary have? Without distraction or without anything else, she had Jesus and held him close and embraced him and loved him and was able to focus perhaps upon this child in a way that had she been home and in familiar surroundings with all the other community would have been a distraction. So perhaps a little bit of melancholy is not the worst thing in the world, especially when we realize it's okay. Because where I really want to place my love and my warmth and my heart and my worship is in Jesus and in Him alone. Amen? I love this. I love this story. You remember that Mary was probably, and again, we don't know how old Mary was, and there's all kinds of speculations. What we do know is she was probably quite young, probably 16, maybe 17 years of age, giving birth to a child in a manger, in a stable, a place where animals are kept. And yet this child is the fulfillment of God's promise. This child is God who has come to visit and to redeem the planet Earth. And she is holding him in her arms. I just love that picture of Mary, that tender moment, that first moment with her and with Joseph. And as she held the child and loved on him and just kissed him, and maybe when he finally first went to sleep. Now, look with me in verse 8. It says in verse 8, and here we have the story of the shepherds, and as they finally make their arrival, it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, who are these shepherds? Bethlehem is about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is, of course, where they would have all the lambs come and where they would make the sacrifices. And they had a lamb that was sacrificed in the morning, and they had a lamb that was sacrificed in the evening every day, let alone the other times that they had people from, you know, all over at Passover. And many lambs were needed for Jerusalem. So where are you going to raise the lambs? Jerusalem is not a place where you can raise lambs. They would do it in Bethlehem, close by, kind of a little country area out in the fields. So there are many who believe that these shepherds were the temple shepherds who were raising the very lambs that were then used for the sacrifices on Mount Zion. They're watching over these sheep and watching over them and caring for them. Now, the whole sacrificial system was pointing to the day when God's Son would come, the Lamb of God. And if it's true that these were temple shepherds, how beautiful it was then that the first ones to hear the news that Jesus, the Lamb of God, was born, were these shepherds who raised lambs. But now the ultimate Lamb of God, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world, has finally come. And then verse 9, it says, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I believe that this angel, who is this angel that announced? It doesn't tell us who it is, but I'm going to give you my guess, okay? Don't stone me if I'm wrong. But we'll find out when we get to heaven. I think it was Gabriel. Gabriel is the one who told Daniel the prophet about the prophecy of the coming of Messiah. Gabriel is the one that made the announcement to Zechariah and Elizabeth for John the Baptist, and then to Mary. It seems that Gabriel had the secrets of the Messiah. And now, you know, it's like he gets to be the one to tell the world. And as Gabriel is ready to make this announcement, here comes this beautiful, large, glorious, angelic cherubim, and he bursts through the scene into the night scene there. And as he looks to and fro, this is news everybody should know. But the problem is, everybody's sleeping. Everybody is fast asleep. All the candles have been blown out in Bethlehem. They're all asleep. So Gabriel is looking, who can I tell? Who can I tell? Finally, he sees the light of a fire of some shepherds out in the fields of Bethlehem. And so he rushes over to them and he says, hey, shepherds, good news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He's right here. You'll find him. He's a little baby and he's wrapped up in swaddling clothes. Go to him. Go, guys. And as soon as he makes this announcement, then all the other angels who probably were waiting because the Lord's saying, look, Gabriel gets to be the first one to make the announcement. He's been here all along. You guys know. But as soon as he does, then you guys can pop through the curtain. So Gabriel makes the big announcement and then the curtain's pulled back. And so you can imagine this dramatic scene as these little temple shepherds are looking up, terrified, hearing this booming voice, and for a moment, God pulling the curtain between the eternal, spiritual, supernatural realm and the earth, which is what he's wanted all along. And now the point of contact where God has become flesh and blood and bone, so small, so vulnerable, so approachable. Baby Jesus speaks to us of God's desire for us to touch him, to embrace him, to not be afraid of him, to draw near to him, and to love him, and to worship him. And so all these angels say with a unanimous voice, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Christ the Lord is born. The Messiah has come.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with great encouragement today, as we consider the significance of the Christmas story here on Maranatha Radio. And now you can hear today's message on CD. It's a study called God Manifest in the Flesh. And we can send it to you for just $7. Contact us and mention the title, God Manifest in the Flesh. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Some people confuse astronomy, the study of celestial objects, with astrology, a system of divining the future based on the occult. Where one can bring you closer to our spiritual adversary, a study of the heavens can reveal things about God. And you'll find an example of that in Pastor Ray's new book called The Holy Land Key.
We believe the book of Job is the oldest book. And in Job chapter 38, Job is having a conversation where God is speaking to him, and God mentions the Maseroth. When you look it up, is basically the 12 constellations, what we call in Greek the zodiac. Most people think of the zodiac as, oh, astrology, stay away from that. In fact, before astrology came, there was God revealing himself through these 12 pictures. 12 is a number for God. And they point to the story of the gospel. It's fascinating.
Pastor Ray tells you more in the pages of his brand new book, The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. It's far too easy to miss the significant prophetic signs contained in God's creation, in stories of biblical characters, and in the lives and actions of today's Israelis and Palestinians. Well, Pastor Ray helps us unlock the insights, and he brings the puzzle pieces together. Let us send you a copy of The Holy Land Key. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact on your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or connect on Twitter. He's at Ray Bentley.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more important encouragement for the Christmas season. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.